Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle is producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Our daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding.
And I hope you've learned by now that Memphis basketball is a 12-month-a-year sport. You can get news connected to it basically anytime, evidence being last night, June 29th, in what should be an otherwise quiet time for college basketball programs, Memphis had two significant stories. A, Penny Hardaway announced that he's withdrawing from consideration for the Orlando Magic job, and he will remain the head coach of the Memphis Tigers. Told you yesterday that's probably how that was going to go. And then it was confirmed that Larry Brown, the Hall of Fame coach, we'll be joining Penny Hardaway's staff with an announcement expected to come this week, perhaps during this show today. So a lot to talk about. We're going to do it momentarily. First, though, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Jason Munn's going to join me. He covers the Memphis men's basketball program for the Commercial Appeal. He'll join me in the next segment to discuss Penny Hardaway remaining at Memphis and Larry Brown joining the staff, among other things. Jason Munn's going to be here right around 420. When I finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them the Atlanta Hawks, were without Trae Young last night but still beat the Milwaukee Bucks 110-88, so that series is tied 2-2, heading to Game 5 in Milwaukee. But the story is Giannis Antetokounmpo, the two-time MVP, left the game with a knee injury. Didn't look great, but today's news was good, relatively speaking. No structural damage. Still, Giannis is doubtful for Game 5 and probably for the rest of this series. We'll spend a few minutes on that around 4:44. Meantime, Game 6, Western Conference Finals is set for tonight. Phoenix Suns win, they'll advance to the NBA Finals. If the LA Clippers win, we're going to have a Game 7 Friday night in Phoenix. I'll get you ready for that a little later on this hour. College baseball's national champion going to be crowned tonight in Omaha. Will Vanderbilt become back-to-back champs, or will Mississippi State win its first national title in any team sport in history? We'll spend some time on Game 3 of the College World Series final just before 5 o'clock. And Bill Cosby, what in the world, has been released from prison on a technicality. Must be a sad day for all of his survivors to watch a rapist walk free. We'll talk a little bit about that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Coggins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that is the rundown. We got a lot to get to. Didn't want to start with Tiger basketball because it was a busy night last night in the world of Tiger basketball, and it unfolded just about the way I told you yesterday it would unfold. If you were listening yesterday, I told you I had talked to a source earlier in the day who told me Penny Hardaway, simply put, was not a real candidate for the Orlando Magic job. Yes, he had interviewed And yes, he was impressive in that interview. But I was told yesterday morning that the Orlando Magic just were not going to offer that job to Penny Hardaway, period. So what I told you is that the way these things usually play out is that once a coach knows he's not getting a job that he has been publicly tied to, what he does is announce one way or another that he's withdrawing from that job to stay where he's at because he just couldn't bear the thought of leaving at this time. And that is exactly what Penny Hardaway did last night. He announced shortly after we got off the air that he is going to remain the Memphis coach. Now, I've heard people debate or at least go back and forth. Would Penny have taken the Orlando Magic job if it were actually offered to him? And I can't speak to that with any degree of certainty. As I said yesterday and the day before that as well, I do believe that if you have to pick one or the other, if he were offered the Magic job and the money was right and, you know, there were no breakdowns anywhere, problems anywhere, I do think he would lean toward taking the Orlando Magic job over staying at the University of Memphis. He even acknowledged in his video last night that he posted on Instagram that he does someday want to coach in the NBA. So that's vastly different than saying, I've got the job I want and I want to coach here for the rest of my life. He actually said the opposite of that, that he wants to coach in the NBA someday and that it'd be something if it were with the Orlando Magic. He simply said now's not the time. Again, now's not the time, I think, mostly because the Orlando Magic decided now's not the time. But would he have made now the right time if he would have had that option actually on the table? I think so. I don't know for sure, but I think so. I'd put it at, I don't know, 60-40. I think he would be the Orlando Magic coach next season if the Orlando Magic wanted him to be the Orlando Magic coach next season. Either way, it doesn't matter. He's going to be the head coach of the University of Memphis next season. And as we talked about yesterday, Penny Hardaway is not the first Memphis basketball coach to pursue other opportunities, not get them, and remain at Memphis. John Calipari did it multiple times. John Calipari wanted the Pitt job in 2003. He didn't get it. It went to Jamie Dixon. So he stayed at Memphis. And obviously did great things here. John Calipari wanted the Kentucky job when Tubby Smith left to go to Minnesota. But Kentucky at that point didn't want John Calipari. So he stayed at Memphis and continued to do good things. Just because you are interested in another job doesn't mean you don't like your job or even love your job. And it doesn't mean you can't continue to flourish or start flourishing in your job. And so I don't get caught up on that too much at all. Yes, Penny Hardaway was interested in the Orlando Magic job. Yes, I think he probably would have taken it if offered. But he wasn't offered. So he remained the Memphis coach. And that's a good day for the University of Memphis and Memphis fans. There was a lot of excitement on social media last night. Facebook, Twitter, really the only two places I looked. But a lot of excitement last night that this thing had been put to bed. You know, honestly, we had detailed early yesterday that this thing was basically already put to bed, but there's still some comfort that comes with hearing it straight from your favorite college's coach's mouth. And that's what we got last night from Penny Hardaway on Instagram. And then shortly after that, it was confirmed that Larry Brown, the Hall of Fame coach, is going to join Penny Hardaway's staff in advance of next season. This is something we've been talking about for a month. By the time it was confirmed last night, it's not a surprise, but still, pretty big development when you can finally create a headline that does say Hall of Fame coach Larry Brown is going to join Penny Hardaway's staff at Memphis. He is the assistant Penny has always wanted. Since the day he got the job, literally at the opening press conference, Penny was talking about Larry Brown and how much respect he had for Larry Brown. Even before Tubby Smith was fired, when I first wrote that Memphis was considering firing Tubby Smith to hire Penny Hardaway, one of the things we noted at that time, again, this is even before the American Athletic Conference tournament that doubled as the final games of the Tubby Smith era. It was noted at that time that Penny would pursue Larry Brown to add to his staff. The story is well documented at this point. The former athletic director, Tom Bowen, would not allow it. Put his foot down. Said no. And so they moved on and hired another staff, and Larry Brown just kept doing whatever he was doing. But fast forward to present times, and there's a new athletic director, some other new people within the athletic department, and this time Penny gets what he wants, which is to add Larry Brown to the staff. It has not been officially announced by the university yet, but I was told last night that would come this week and probably today. So this is happening. This is a real thing. And I thought the reaction last night was pretty predictable. Memphis fans celebrated it, and then national media got their jokes off, either about Larry's age or about Larry's past NCAA issues, because it is undeniable and there's no way to get around it. Larry Brown has worked as a head coach on three different college campuses, and they have had NCAA issues every single time. So when you combine Memphis's history as a rule violator, I mean, two of the best teams in school history have vacated seasons.
Yes.
When you combine Memphis's history as a rules violator and Memphis's current NCAA issues with the history of Larry Brown, even I can acknowledge it's pretty easy to make jokes about that. I guess I would just say this. Who cares? There is nothing Penny Hardaway or the University of Memphis can ever do to make people think they're running a clean program, like whatever you think a clean program is.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never change that reputation. That is what Memphis basketball is. Or at least it's undeniably how Memphis basketball is viewed. So by not hiring Larry Brown, do you think national media or anybody else out there is out going, oh, so Memphis is finally doing it the right way? Nobody thinks that.
No.
So who cares what they think? You can't please those people. You can't change their minds. So if you want to hire Larry Brown, sure, the jokes will come. But if it turns into be a successful marriage, nobody will care. Not to mention all around the country, there are NCAA issues and coaches with rough reputations flourishing at even some blue blood programs. Nobody cares. You think Kansas cares when you get your jokes off about their current NCAA case? Not enough to get rid of Bill Self. They might care, but not enough to change coaches. Why? Because they've got a coach who they know can win at an extremely high level. And ultimately, that's what they care about more. And if we're being honest, the same approach should be taken at Memphis. How do we put ourselves in a position to win at the highest level of the sport? And if your head coach, in this case Penny Hardaway, believes Larry Brown is the key to that or a part of that, then you should let him hire Larry Brown. And that is what they are finally doing. Better late than never. I texted with Larry last night, and I don't want to violate his confidence, so I'll let him speak publicly for himself after everything becomes official. But I can say he is excited about what's to come. He's excited about the future. He really has fond feelings for Penny and for how hard Penny has fought for him. And I know some people might question why he is doing this. Honestly, I would question why he is doing this. I can't imagine having all the money that he has at the age of 80, soon to be 81, and still wanting to be an assistant basketball coach, particularly after I've won a world title in the NBA and a national championship in college. I feel like if I were Larry Brown, I'd own a really nice spot in the Hamptons, and I'd just be enjoying that life in the Hamptons. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. Here's the problem. Larry Brown doesn't feel that way. Larry Brown's a basketball coach. Would he prefer to be a head coach of the Boston Celtics? Maybe, I guess. I don't know. But he's a basketball coach. Larry Brown loves coaching basketball, loves being in the gym. So what is this going to do? It's going to get him back in the gym, back in the sport, back around players, sharing his knowledge in a city with which he is familiar. Larry's never lived here, but he spent time here. He and I did a coaching for literacy event together.
That's right. I forgot about that.
A few years ago where I conducted a Q&A with him at an event. Like I remember one time a few years ago, I walked into James Davis. Larry Brown was in there. He's friends with Van Weinberg, the owner. Larry's got real relationships here. He's close with John Wilfong. And so this will give him an opportunity to get back in the gym, back in the sport, back around players, sharing his knowledge in a city with which he is familiar. Maybe it's not what you would do at 80. Maybe it's not what I would do at 80. But it is what he wants to do at 80. And so I, for one, am going to wish him luck and hope that it goes well. I heard Jeff Calkins and John Martin talking about this a little bit this morning. And one of the points John made is that, you know, for Penny, it's interesting that you would bring on somebody like Larry Brown to your staff because this is a man who was your coach once upon a time and who is recognized as one of the great basketball minds in history. Nobody's ever accomplished what he's accomplished. Literally nobody. To win an NBA title and a national championship at the Division I level. And so, would a different coach be uneasy about bringing in somebody like that? Because if all of a sudden it does start to go well, you won't be able to read enough stories about Larry Brown's really coaching that team. Oh, so Penny Hardaway got Larry Brown on staff, and now Memphis looks like it's running a coherent offense. Like, if this thing goes well, that will be said, and I'm assuming it'll be written by some. And I guess I would circle back to one of my favorite phrases. Who cares? If the bottom line is great, who cares? If the byproduct of this is that Memphis basketball is rocking and rolling in a way that is possible and that everybody wants, who cares why people think it would be happening? I'll tell you a quick story, then we'll get to Jason Muntz. Once upon a time, Billy Donovan was a young basketball coach. Now, he had accomplished some things, like made a Final Four, but all of a sudden, he was going through a stretch where he was getting McDonald's All-Americans, five-star prospect, and couldn't get them where the talent on the roster suggested they should go. Five straight years. Billy Donovan was knocked out of the NCAA tournament in the first or second round. Five straight years. He's got teams that have top 10 talent. They cannot get to the Sweet 16. Losing the first round, losing the second round. Five straight years, gone in the first weekend. Then Billy Donovan hired Larry Shyatt to his staff. Larry Shyatt was a former head coach at a number of places, most recently Clemson. And Billy hired him. And Larry Shyatt, even Billy would tell you this, took over big parts of coaching that basketball team. And within 3 years of Larry Shyatt joining Billy Donovan's staff, he won back-to-back national championships. Larry Shyatt is a big reason Billy Donovan won back-to-back national championships. The biggest reason is Joakim Noah and Al Horford and Corey Brewer, Torian Green, right, and Lee Humphrey. And that all of those players came back to school after winning a first national championship, which I don't think will ever happen again. I don't think we'll ever see a college basketball team win a national championship and return all five players, all five starters. The circumstances surrounding that were very unique. Your star was Joakim Noah, son of a former professional tennis player, came from money. Another star was Al Horford, son of a professional basketball player, came from money. So they were in no rush to go get the money that they had to get. They said, this is fun. Let's just stay in school. Then Corey Brewer, who probably could have left for the money, didn't have the same type of background. He was like, y'all staying, I'm staying. And then the other two didn't have real NBA options. So you return all five starters from a championship team, you win another championship. That's the biggest reason Billy Donovan got two titles. But maybe the next biggest reason is Larry Shyatt. How often have you heard that story? Do you even know that story?
No.
The only story anybody knows is Billy Donovan got two national titles.
Right.
He turned it into an NBA career. He's a Hall of Fame coach because of it. Who cares who gets the credit? Who cares who's pulling the strings? Just get the strings pulled in the right direction. Get this thing on track where it ought to be. And if Larry Brown is the key or among the keys to doing that, then this might not just go down as the best hire Penny Hardaway's ever made. It'd go down as the smartest. Jason Munn's up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right?
Vanderbilt, Mississippi State. Playing tonight, Game 3, College World Series Final. Winner is a national champion. Loser is not. Bulldogs trying to win their first national title in a team sport in school history. We'll talk a little bit about that in the next segment. Jeff Cargill will be here at 5 o'clock, but right now he covers the University of Memphis men's basketball program for the Commercial Appeal. It's Jason Munns. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Jason, it was obviously a busy night last night on the Tigers beat. We'll take the developments in the order that they happened. First, Penny Hardaway announcing that he will remain the head coach at the University of Memphis. Do you have a sense for how nervous, if nervous is even the right word, folks in that athletic department were that Penny might just leave for an NBA opportunity?
I never got the sense that there was nervousness. I think probably, I don't know, some anxiousness, that this escalated so quickly, seemingly escalated so quickly. I mean, you know, his name was, you know, sort of semi-attached to the Orlando Magic opening, a couple of weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago was when it first started being, you know, it sounded like a few weeks ago that there was going to be some sort of cursory level interest on both sides, and that's kind of all anybody thought it would be, that it wouldn't be too serious. Well, you look up Sunday evening, and it has escalated quite rapidly to the point of, you know, where he's the serious candidate. And I know that phrase has been sort of played out heavily around here, but that's what it was. And I think it did create some anxiousness around the Memphis Athletic Department, but I don't know if it ever rose to the level of nervousness, because, and I say that simply because that's kind of where it seemed to end. And those NBA things work pretty quickly. I think a lot of people some people assumed that the longer it played out, the less likely it was that Penny was going to leave. So that's just the sense that I got.
So Penny Hardaway announces he's going to remain the coach at Memphis. Shortly thereafter, we get confirmation of something that, you know, had been in the works for a while and accepted as reality in recent weeks, which is Larry Brown will be on staff at the University of Memphis, working for and with Penny Hardaway. How much of a fight, if it was a fight, was it for Penny to be able to finally hire someone he's wanted to hire since the day he got the job?
I'm not even sure that I would call it a fight. I mean, I think there probably was some hesitancy on some folks' part, some pushback, maybe even a little bit as well. I don't think that it was like a fight. I think if it had been, I think things could have played out a lot differently over these last couple of days had there been an actual fight. But no, I think that, understandably so. People in the athletic department, people who have to rubber stamp these things are a little bit leery. And it's not because it's necessarily Larry Brown. Anybody who's had run-ins before in the past, they just want to make sure that they're absolutely the right man for the job. Now, on the flip side, or the right person for the job, on the other side of the coin, though, most often assistant coach hires don't ever get to that level. You know, a head coach is allowed to run his program the way he wants. And again, a lot of times it's a formality. When a head coach wants to hire an assistant coach, he gets to hire that assistant coach. I think that's probably where, if there was quote unquote friction, that's probably where it was coming from, is just the fact that, you know, Penny wanted Larry Brown and he wasn't immediately getting Larry Brown. So that's kind of my read on that situation.
I was told last night that Memphis would announce it before the end of the week and probably today. It's 4:35 Central. I don't believe it's been announced formally today. What is your understanding of any sort of formal announcement, when it might happen?
Yeah, the last I talked to somebody, to anybody over at the, over on the Memphis side, they were not aware of like something like pending. That there wasn't anything set in stone as far as a pending announcement. Although I did talk to somebody who's not inside the athletic department just about an hour or so ago, who told me that Larry Brown will be in Memphis on Monday. So I would think that, you know, an official announcement would probably come. Even I'm like you. I would have thought it would have been today, but certainly by the end of the week. I do not see this stretching into next week if he's already planning to be on the ground starting next Monday.
And then, like, he's going to be on the road recruiting. Like, I'm going to Peach Jam next month. Do you assume I'm going to, you know, maybe be sitting next to Larry Brown at Peach Jam in North Augusta, South Carolina?
Yes. I mean, I certainly think so. And how awesome is that going to be? I mean, I am here for this. I think this is a, you know, this has got so much potential to be just great theater. All of this, this entire upcoming season. And I think it's going to be, you know, good theater. You know, I'm not thinking that it's going to be like a horror, you know, it's not Phantom of the Opera or anything. I think it's going to be, you know, good, you know, uplifting theater. But we'll see, you know, I mean, that's kind of out of everybody's, out of Memphis's hands, out of Penny Hardaway's hands at this point. We'll see about that. But no, I think that he is going to, I don't know that Larry Brown is going to necessarily be zipping around and going on in-home visits, but yeah, Peach Jam, I would assume he's going to be there, yeah.
Talking to Jason Munns from the Commercial Appeal on Twitter at Munsley. A couple more things before I let you go. I'm following your Twitter feed. I see that they've got prospects on campus. They're obviously involved with any number of players right now. If you were just trying to broad brush what's happening with Memphis basketball recruiting right now, take me through some of the bullet points.
Well, so they've got two available open scholarships for this upcoming season. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. They are in the running and would desperately love to get Jalen Duren, the new number one. You know, he leapfrogged Amani Bates as the number one recruit in the country. Yes, he's still classified as a 2022 prospect, but everybody assumes that's going to change relatively soon. He's going to reclassify into the 21 class, and you know, the people I've talked to on the Memphis side feel very good about their chances. Now, of course, I think the people on the Miami side, the Kentucky side, they feel great about their chances as well. So we'll see. Of course, there's the pro options. So I think in the very near term, there's that. There's Jalen Duren. I know that I think Memphis is thinking that if they miss on him, or even if they get him, he might not be the only person, the only player reclassifying that they have a shot at adding before the season starts. And yeah, they're also hosting a number of 2022 guys these last couple of weeks. Noah Batchelor just left campus. Barry Dunning arrived today. He's a top 50 guy out of Mobile. So I think they're in a really good spot with a few guys and are ready to capitalize on the momentum that was created by last night's developments.
Wrapping up here with Jason Munns from the Commercial Appeal. Last thing before I let you go, you had an interesting story earlier today on Memphis's partnership with Open Doors in advance of the name, image, and likeness rules changing at midnight tonight. As I think most people know, starting tomorrow, student-athletes in all 50 states are going to be able to profit off of their name, image, and likeness rights. I've already seen, you know, Jordan Bohannon, who plays at Iowa, is going to be at a fireworks stand in Iowa tomorrow signing autographs, obviously getting paid to be there. What is Open Doors? Explain to Memphis fans listening exactly how this is going to work.
Yeah, so Open Doors is a company that Memphis is paying. The University of Memphis is paying them to provide their service, which is they do a variety of things. They help. They explain to student athletes what's possible, what's permissible, because there are still, you know, guidelines and guardrails. You know, they can't. If they're somewhere and they're getting paid, they can't be wearing their uniform. They can't, you know, say "Go Tigers, go." They can't do anything like that. So there are still some restrictions, but those are the sorts of things that Open Doors explains to them and educates them on. And they also, the other thing that they do, which is really neat, is they go through each individual student athlete's social media brand, their presence, and they give them advice. They sort of tell them, give them tips and things like that on you know, for how they can do things better, how they can get the most out of their social media presence. And then the other thing is they've got this app, apparently, that you know, all the athletes will have access to, and you know, companies can, like Coca-Cola, for instance, can go to Open Doors and say, here's a social media post. We want to target the Memphis market. We want to target the athlete, the young athlete, college athlete market in Memphis. And we want to, you know, pay Lester Quinones $500 to tweet this out a couple times this week. Well, they can send Lester a message in this app, and he can hit accept or reject, and the message will go up on his social, on his Twitter or his Instagram, and he'll get paid. It's a pretty sleek, high tech conduit, for lack of a better term, to help these kids, professionals, in a manner of speaking, get the most that they can get for their name, image, and likeness.
That is Jason Munns from the Commercial Appeal. You can read that story at commercialappeal.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Munsley. Terrific as always. I appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for being here.
All right. Appreciate you, GP.
All right, baby. That's Jason Munns from the Commercial Appeal. Really interesting story at commercialappeal.com about Open Doors. It is a changing world in college athletics. Like, awesome. Awesome that this is finally happening, that people are going to be able to get whatever it is they're worth. In some cases, it might be nothing more than what they've been getting all along. But in many cases, it's going to be something. And in some cases, it's going to be something significant. Very soon, if you follow Memphis basketball players on social media, you'll see them tweeting things. And you'll go, well, that's interesting. And it'll be quite clear that they're tweeting it in exchange for money in ways that are completely and totally legal. I don't know if you saw the Clemson quarterback yesterday tweeted something along the lines of, man, I tell you, my flight experience with Delta is always great. And like, you know, wink, wink, coming July 1st, he's going to be a Delta spokesperson, the Clemson quarterback. Not everybody is going to be able to get big national brands like Delta and Coca-Cola and Gatorade and Nike and Under Armour. But basically everybody's going to be able to get something on the local level. There's a restaurant chain in the state of Nebraska that announced today that they will do a name, image, and likeness deal with literally every student athlete in the state of Nebraska.
How about that?
Every school, every athlete is going to get something. So it's comical when the NCAA says, but this can't be a recruiting tool because, like, this company in Nebraska has already made it clear, if you come to Nebraska, we got something for you.
Right.
So it's going to be a recruiting tool.
Of course.
There's no way not.
Stop.
There's no way to enforce that. It's going to be. It's going to be something new. I don't think it'll change the order of things within the sport very much, but it is going to change people's pockets. It's going to change people's bank accounts. Some student athletes are going to be making real, real money, and it's not just going to be football players and men's basketball players. I think that's the assumption. There are two twins who play basketball at Fresno State for the women's basketball program, mm-hmm. who have millions of followers on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever else, because they're pretty. They're like blonde twins. Mm. They happen to play basketball. They're going to get tons of money. Why? Because they have the social media following to push whatever it is you want them to push to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people.
You also got Olympic athletes that are in college, right? Like, you're going to that. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, my point is, like, you might think, well, the starting point guard at Memphis is going to get X amount of dollars. And you're right. He is. But these twins with 2 million followers on Instagram, they going to get more than the point guard at your favorite school, because they've got the built-in social media following that companies desire. Like, I have a, you know, relative to that, you know, a relatively small social media following, but like still significant. I get approached all the time about, hey, would you do this? Do you want to do this? And I've done some, and I've not done others. I did a deal with Papa John's one time. They gave me like $1,000 in Papa John's credit to tweet a couple of things about a contest.
Nice.
We's eating Papa John's.
That sounds good.
All the time. So, like, I have restrictions on what I can do based on my employers, but, you know, I'm approached by that stuff often. And so if you're a student athlete, whether it's a star quarterback with a big following or an attractive volleyball player with a big following, if you've got a big social media following and you're a student athlete, there are going to be companies approaching you in a variety of ways to allow you to capitalize on that social media following. They're going to use you to get their product out, and you're going to use them to put money in your pocket. It's the American way, and now it's a part of college athletics. Giannis suffered a knee injury last night. Looked bad. Turns out it's not as bad as it looked. That's good news. We'll talk about it next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon. I'm screaming about the car dealer. Last temptation of Mike.
Jeff Calkins going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. Talk Tiger basketball with him. But right now, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
Once again, injuries are the headline in the NBA, because last night, during what was ultimately a 110-88 Atlanta Hawks victory over the Milwaukee Bucks, two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo suffered what appeared to be a really bad knee injury. He was going up for a rebound, came down, landed awkwardly, knee bent in a way, leg bent in a way that it's not supposed to bend. He went down, obvious pain, was removed from the game, never returned. A lot of people were speculating that it was a torn ACL. Good news today. All the imaging came back, and all of the ligaments are structurally sound. He did not tear his ACL or anything else. It is listed officially by the Bucks as a hyperextended knee, and he is considered doubtful for Game 5. I saw my buddy Ryan Hollins, who played in the NBA for a long time, say that, like, even with a hyperextended, like, this is great news that nothing is tore. But even with this, Ryan speculated that he's still going to be out 2 weeks minimum.
Wow.
Anything earlier than that would really be rushing it. Again, Ryan's a basketball player, not a doctor, more specifically, not Giannis's doctor, but there is a good chance we will not see him in Game 5, 6, or if we get to a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, that there's a good chance we're not going to see Giannis Antetokounmpo play against the Hawks again in this series. Trae Young also missed last night's game with that right foot injury, and it was wild because I can't tell you how many gamblers,
dude,
the second it was announced Trae Young is out, went and jumped on Milwaukee Bucks -7. The game was taken off the board.
Guilty.
You did it?
Of course I did.
And then it reopened at 8 and got pushed all the way up to 9. And people were still grabbing it at 9 because it's the Atlanta Hawks without Trae Young.
Right.
You want to know the truth?
Mm.
I had already locked in Atlanta minus seven. I mean, Atlanta plus seven. A, because I wanted Atlanta to win, and too often because I'm an idiot. That's the way I bet. And I assumed when it was it was at seven, and then it went down to 6.5. I'm like, that's an indication that Trae Young's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read something on the Action Network that said the sharp bettors, like the professionals, were heavy on Atlanta. And I was like, well, they must know Trae Young's going to play, and they're jumping on this number now before it adjusts. So I was like, I'll be with the professionals then. I know he's questionable, but I'll assume he's going to play, and I'll go ahead and lock this thing in at Atlanta plus seven. And then I get home, and it's like, Trae Young is out tonight. I'm like, son of a... But here's the thing I reminded myself of. I do what you did all the time. Boom, it's being reported. This player's out.
Mm-hmm.
And you go try to
jump. Here we go. Let's do it.
Here we go. Let's jump on this before the line moves. Mm-hmm. If you're really quick, you can get it before the line moves.
Yep.
And it backfires almost every time.
I'm never doing it again. Ever.
It never, I mean, I don't want to say it never, but it, more often than not.
It never works.
It doesn't seem like it ever works. And so that's the only thing that gave me, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be in this situation where I'm locked into Atlanta plus seven without Trae Young. But considering that every time I'm on the other side of this, I lose, maybe tonight it'll go okay.
Yeah.
And then the Hawks beat their brains in. And we're beating them, by the way, even before Giannis went down.
That's the thing. I mean, the Bucks really, really screwed up here because you should have gotten that game without Giannis in the fourth quarter. It you should have had that game early on.
And then you're up 3-1 going back home, and yep, even without Giannis,
you could probably still get this done.
We can close this out still, one way or another, get to the NBA Finals and hope that he can come back.
Yep.
Now you're in an absolute fight with the Atlanta Hawks, and all indications are that Trae Young is going to be back in Atlanta's lineup before Giannis is back in Milwaukee's lineup. And so that's pretty discouraging if you're Milwaukee. This thing, once you took advantage of the Nets being without Kyrie Irving, now you're in a situation where you're at a disadvantage because your star player is out. And if you go get the updated series prices right now, the Bucks are still favored to get out of this thing, but it's only minus 135. This is very much an up-in-the-air situation now between Atlanta and Milwaukee. Again, I think the assumption at this point is that Trae Young will play again in this series, but Giannis Antetokounmpo probably will not. And it is no longer crazy to think the Atlanta Hawks are going to be in the NBA Finals.
Jeez.
Story number two.
We get Game 6, Western Conference Finals tonight. Suns-Clippers inside Staples Center. Stakes are pretty simple. Phoenix wins it, they're going to the NBA Finals. Clippers win it, we're going to have a Game 7 in Phoenix on Friday night. Phoenix is a one-point favorite at this moment. I think they're closing it out tonight.
I do, too. I really do. I was shocked at that last game.
Keep in mind, I thought they were closing it out the other night. I was wrong.
Me, too, and so that's why I think it's tonight.
I can obviously be wrong again.
They're closing it out tonight. I really think so, man. I know, are you going to have another game like that from Marcus Morris? Maybe, but, like, that came out of nowhere. That dude was awesome. Boogie Cousins, like, again, maybe, but, like, those were kind of anomaly performances that have not been consistent at all this playoff. So I would stick with the Suns and their starting five.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, the Suns have their best players available, and the Clippers do not.
Right.
That should be the long and short of this. Again, you know, the Suns are only favored by a point, so it could, by definition, go either way. But I'm going to trust Phoenix to get out of this thing tonight, move on to the NBA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Hosted host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.